Last Sunday, we heard about God's provision to us and how God is the source of everything that we have and every good gift. But with that provision, we are tempted to do a variety of things, most of which, if they're led by temptation, are against God. And so this week, we hear God giving us terms, covenants, ways to live by, promises to anchor our lives, to help us know how to manage all that God provides. These terms are found across our readings today. They're the terms outlined for Abraham, for him to trust in God, to lead him into a promised land, and to give him descendants. There are different terms and ways of living as citizens of heaven, as we hear in our reading from Philippians, that our citizenship is in heaven. We also think about the variety of terms presented in our gospel reading, as Pharisees invite Jesus to respond on their terms, to flee Herod, who would seek to kill Jesus on his terms. And of course, Jesus says, no, I will follow my terms and God's terms. I will heal, drive out demons, and then I will head to Jerusalem. And so we hear all about these different terms, promises, covenants that God gives to us today. And we recognize that we have a variety of responses to God's terms. Abram's response is disbelief initially, wondering how is God going to accomplish these promises? How will God fulfill the terms that have been made with me? He complains that a slave in his household will be the one to inherit everything. He doesn't see descendants forthcoming, and God hasn't given him any as of yet. He doesn't yet possess the land either and wonders, how will I know that I will receive it? Abram's questions resonate with us because we also likely have similar questions of God and God's terms. We've heard of the new life that God would offer to us, the ability to walk in light instead of darkness. We hear of God's justice and righteousness. We hear of the Prince of Peace and the powers of the Holy Spirit. And yet we look out in our lives and in this world and see brokenness still. Injustice, oppression, conflict. And we too may wonder, how, O Lord, will we know that your terms will come to bear, that your promises will occur? To be honest, we're probably doing pretty good if we're at this point. Because in order to ask God about God's promises, we have to know God's promises. We have to know the terms that God has made with us in order to wonder about them or to demand that God fulfill them. Now, of course, we still are perhaps a bit impatient and asking God to fulfill God's terms in a way that we would understand. But at least we are thinking about God's terms. In our other two readings, we see, I think, a focus on human terms. Some of these terms seek to acknowledge God's presence and indeed would even ask God to follow their terms, their understanding. And then, of course, there are the terms that humans make that ignore God altogether. I think we see in our gospel reading this first, an example of this first issue. The Pharisees seem to think, these ones who would come to warn Jesus, that Jesus is sent from God, is a prophet, and they want to preserve his life. So they ask him to function in a way that would make sense to them, and to flee from Herod, to function on their terms. Now, these terms seem very reasonable, and are terms we would likely say to anybody that we cared about and wanted to protect and to preserve. But ultimately, they are still our terms, and we are to trust that this one, Jesus, is from God. Even if we just saw him as a prophet, we should know that he is following God's word and sent from God to the people. And so ultimately, what they are saying is, O you who come from God, we want you to function as we would understand and on our terms. And of course, Jesus refuses. He says, I will not function on your terms. I have my own mission, my own ministry that I must be about. I must go to Jerusalem. And of course, Jerusalem is a strange place. It too acknowledges God and says, I would like to be on God's terms. It is the place where God is supposed to dwell. It is where the temple is. It's where sacrifices can be offered. And yet we hear very clearly in Jesus' response that it functions on its own terms. It kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. It says it wants to follow God as a city and as a people. But ultimately, we want to follow God, or they want to follow God on their own terms, not on God's terms. Hence, when those bearing God's terms show up, they are rejected to the point even of death. And of course, we can struggle with this as well. There are times we will want to strong-arm God into our service. We'll want God to function in ways that fulfill our terms and our understanding. But of course, this is just as problematic as those who would kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to him. Then there's our final category, the people who don't acknowledge God at all. These enemies of the cross of Christ, as we hear Paul describe them, whose God is their belly, that which they would desire or consume even. It could be all sorts of different things, but it's not God. But they serve these other interests as if it was God. They seek for power and glory and status, ways of understanding themselves based on the world. And of course, we know this is a problem as well, just as much as we know that it is tempting at times for us to function in the same way, to be caught up in the stuff of the world and to lose sight of God's terms and God's perspective. So what we know we need at the end of the day is God's terms to come to fruition. And what we also realize is that we fall short of this and that we do not maintain the terms as we should. And so we are pretty convinced, I think, that God should not keep God's word with us. And yet we see consistently God reaching out to offer us assurance that God's terms are not changed, that God's love remains steadfast and sure, that God's promises are certain. This is what I see Jesus accomplishing himself, as he shows us what God's terms look like. It means he will go to Jerusalem and embrace suffering and death. By those who are sure they are fulfilling God's terms and will enlist the help of those who are in that third category that don't care about God at all, it seems, those Romans. And yet, ultimately, they will both be serving God's terms. They will both be bringing about that which God would seek to accomplish. And in Christ's death and resurrection, we see God's terms of life for us, terms of forgiveness. We know we don't deserve this. We know, as Jesus says, that our rejection of God, that we are not willing to have God draw near to us, means our house should be left to us. We should experience fully the consequences of our decisions when we do not adhere to God's terms. Yet even so, Christ reveals to us a steadfast promise of God, reveals to us a nature of God that says, even when we fall short, God still longs to love and care for us. This is what Jesus says. This city, Jerusalem, that has stoned those who were sent to it, God still longs to gather them together as a mother hen gathers her chicks. God still longs to enfold them, as rebellious as they are, with God's steadfast and certain love, with tender care and provision. These are the terms God would make even with those who have gone astray. Seems difficult to trust and believe that this is true. And yet, even when we struggle to believe and to trust in God's promises, we see in Abram's story that God steps in to help us further trust what God has said. God shows Abram the stars and says, "Count these if you can. These are how many your descendants will be." Abram looks at those stars and believes. God says, "Yes, that's what I want. This is righteousness. Not that you know good from evil, not that you do things that are right. No, that you would believe and trust in these promises I have made to you." This happens again in the question about the land. There's this practice of laying these animals against each other. And this smoking pot and flaming torch passes down between them. And God's presence is here with Abram, telling Abram without a doubt that God is going to take full responsibility for this covenant. Make God like these animals if it would not be fulfilled. And God goes to great lengths to help us trust in the terms and the promises that God has issued to us. And we know that these terms look different for us. As followers of Christ, we have been made citizens of heaven. That this is where our true Lord is. That we abide by the terms that God has made, terms of grace, of mercy, of love, terms that do not make sense to us, to be perfectly honest. And yet terms that we find we cannot help but follow. As citizens of heaven. And that as we encounter God's presence that affirms these truths, we find ourselves transformed, changed, shifted in certain ways to better function as citizens of heaven even while we dwell here on earth. To better trust in the terms and promises God has issued to us. And indeed, like Abraham, we still encounter God's presence affirming for us the truth of what God has spoken. And that is what happens today in this meal that we share. In this bread and wine, we encounter Christ's own body and blood, given and shed for us. Here at this table, Christ's arms are still open to all the world to gather us together as a mother hen gathers her chicks. Here we encounter God's goodness, grace, and mercy that deals with our sin and waywardness and invites us to trust all the more in the good news of the resurrection and in the power of God at work in Christ for us. Here, in this meal, we are invited to look upon our bright morning star and to trust that Christ has fulfilled all these promises of God for life, for love, for grace and mercy for us and for this whole world. And we who experience this truth, we who look upon our star and believe what God has said, are sent forth, strengthened and nourished to celebrate and share the love of Christ that we have received in this place. We who have struggled to live on God's terms receive the gift of forgiveness and renewal. Though we have questioned, though we have doubted, though we have sought to live on our own terms, God still comes and makes God's presence and grace known to us. So we can go boldly forth and share that this same grace and mercy is available to all, because it has come to us. And for this gift of great grace, for these terms that God makes with us and affirms for us over and over again, I can only say for such a gift as this, thanks be to God. Amen.